Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone and welcome to What Culture Gaming. My name is Jules Gill and I'm joined by the only man who I would let on my cardboard box, Scott Tailford. Scott, how are you today?
I'm pretty good, but we're on YouTube, so it's gotta be Piddle? Wee?
Oh, because of this whole clampdown on the swearing.
Yeah, don't you can't say that.
Well, you know what? I've said it out there.
You're whittling jewels.
Gosh darn it, I'm such a bad boy.
Dag nabbit.
But we are together to talk to you today about Hideo Kojima and his future potential games. So that can mean only one thing. It is time to hit the jingle.
Hot dang, this news, give it all you got. I guess it's time for Jules and Scott.
Oh, we are back in the room. It's bad for your spine, that, isn't it?
It is a bit. I probably should sit up as well.
Oh, no, it's bad. Yeah, I mean, a compressed disc and all that. But anyway, we are talking about Hideo Kojima, who obviously has captured the world with his weirdness because obviously Death Stranding has released for some reviewers and it's releasing to the public very soon. Don't get into it now. We don't. It's not
Hideous Kojima. Carry on.
But still, Death Stranding is on everyone's minds and lips because of basically just how odd it's meant to be. We've seen some reviewers describe this game as Euro Truck Simulator meeting Factorio. So I'm not entirely sure what this game is. Otter hats.
Conan O'Brien.
Doing that. That's going to get banned from YouTube.
Doing that on
well.
The river. Just a little black square.
Yeah,
no.
But everyone's basically saying, what is this game? And Hideo's just going like, I don't know.
It just is.
It just is a game. But
it just works.
The question is, what is he going to do next? Because unfortunately, people are never satiated. They'll just play this and then just go like, what's the next thing you're working
on? You're doing a Metal Gear.
You lazy bugger.
You need to stay on the good side of the YouTube swear words. You can't call him what you really want to call him. You got to call him, well, bugger's good.
Yeah, bugger's fine. Bugger's fine, but this
messy
is the thing.
Line.
So what happens now? What's going to happen next?
Well, so Kojima has been doing a whole bunch of PR, a whole bunch of different interviews and whatever. He did a big old talk at the at this BAFTA thing down in London. He also did a chat with a company called Rocket Beans Gaming. Great name for a company. Mm-hmm. And basically said that he wants to return to horror going forward, which is a lovely idea, obviously, considering the history of PT and Silent Hills. But I'll read you some quotes.
Okay.
So they were talking about horror with this Rocket Beans Gaming, and he said that he wants to do a horror game one day. He has some new ideas that he thinks are pretty out there, but he doesn't know when, and he says he'll have to think about it, but then he continued talking about stuff. Give it a chance.
So I'm just popped when he just
a little bit out there.
When he has to qualify that they are out there. We're not ready. We're barely ready for what we have now with Death Stranding.
That many people know that Death Stranding has grenades made of pee, so or blood as well.
And
you've got to eat the bugs. You eat the little bugs to make your blood level go up, and then you get the blood ammo.
And this is the thing, and he thinks that the ideas that he's got for his horror game are out there. But obviously he's been working with Guillermo del Toro.
Yes.
And, like, who is a horror master. Like, mm-hmm. The way that he designs his creatures and monsters and mixes sort of what you'd consider to be children's fairy tale lore and, like, grim fairy tale sort of things with a current sort of edge to them. Mm-hmm. I find that he's one of the most imaginative horror directors out
there.
Guillermo's
one of my favourite authors.
I know he's not for everyone. I know a lot of people are just kind of like, put more fangs and spikes on it. They belong in the Resident Evil crowd. But the thing is that Guillermo has like a fantasy style about it that I find sits with me longer than something just going, boo, I'm out there.
Yeah. Pale Man's like an iconic villain. If you want to know why Guillermo's one of my favourite authors, just go watch Pan's Labyrinth. Like,
oh, it's so,
film.
So good.
In terms of, I look through my hands.
Yeah, no.
That's not even what he does. But not sorry. So when he was talking about horror stuff, he said when it comes to horror as a genre, he made a particular distinction between horror in movies and horror in games. He just said that, you know, when you're watching a movie, you can close your eyes, you can make the fearful thing go away. Mm-hmm. But he said games are different than movies, interestingly. If you close your eyes in a movie, you can make the thing go away, and the movie continues. But in games, it's interactive, and you have to move forward yourself.
I think it's a very common thing for horror video games to scare a lot of people, especially when it's first person, because because it's the immediacy of it, and you're not actually, you are the avatar. It is your projected self, and therefore, as he said before, horror films, kind of like a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Safe experience, but you're with other people doing this. When you're playing video games, it's sometimes more of an isolated experience, and you have direct impact, and you've basically, like, it's little things like the controller vibrating when you get hit. It's the physical sensation and the immediacy of horror. It's, honestly, I love horror in video games, and how the creation of fear, I just, give it to me.
My whole thing with, that's the thing in horror, like, in film, is that, like, after a while you start to telegraph when certain jump scares are coming, certain camera angles are incredibly popular, like, certain setups, like, after a while you most horror, like, unless it's something more unique, like A Quiet Place or Midsommar or whatever, you know what's coming. And for me, that makes the genre quite boring in film. But, like you said, in gaming, you know, it's you that has to open the creaky door. It's you that has to fight the thing in the shadow. Like, for me, horror works immensely better in game form.
I definitely think that, like, horror creation is a fascinating subject, because if you look at games like Silent Hill, and obviously we can link this back to PT, it's the design of the enemies. It's the what they represent afterwards. It's like the horrible sort of psychological manifestations of these creatures that get over in video games more than they do in film. Because film, obviously, you're so focused on set up the scene, set up the scare, and then you'll reveal the enemy, and sometimes, in a lot of cases in movies, you'll reveal too much about it, and it won't be as, like, terrifying. But in video games, it's like they have that they can move them in certain ways. You can present them in ways that films just can't. And obviously, because you're buying into the shared experience of a video game where you're playing as an animated character and they're being attacked by an animated threat, it feels believable because it's within the rules of that game.
But if
you've got a human up against a CGI enemy that doesn't have any weight and bounce off of it, it doesn't feel like it's
the thing, like, why I think it's almost like, it's not like it's subtle, but it's weird. It's like an intrinsic quality of it just being horror in games, is that everything is believable because it's all rendered the same way. Like, you're not pulled out of it by being like, well, that looks a bit naff or whatever. You know, like, for the most part, like, you know, you're always, if some creature bursts out of a wall or whatever, it just makes more sense. I can't think of an exact way to put it, but I think that, you know, giant creatures or jump scares or monstrosities or whatever can just look more natural in a video game context than they can in movies.
I think as well, one of the main differences between games and movies is that games have more time. Like, games have, like, with movies, you have an hour and a half to 3 hours runtime maximum to get audience investment. Games can stretch themselves out to, like, 40 hours, 50 hours. Like, horror games can go, like, around the sort of, like, 20 to 30 hour mark. And so what they're allowed to do is set up that sense of dread. It allows something to not happen for a long time. And that's what's the most important thing about horror. It's basically not about the payoff itself, but the lead up to it. And it turns it from being a jump scare, which isn't fear, to something that is dread, something that you feel will happen.
I remember thinking that about the Amnesia games. Machine for Pigs, I think, falls apart if you ever actually wait around and see what's chasing you. That game, in terms of, like you said, dread and atmosphere and just this, like, just immaculate build towards what you, like, you know, what goes bump in the night kind of thing. And the beginning of that game always stands out to me as the time I was genuinely terrified, like, not knowing what's going to be there. Then I turned around and saw a half-broken little man pig. But for the most part, it was really good until then.
It's why I love the Resident Evil games, the original ones, because of the fixed camera angles, which do obviously convey a very movie aesthetic, but it's the fact that you're moving through them yourself, you're controlling them, and they can construct all of the tight angles to keep things off screen so you can hear them, you know that something's coming for you. Like the first time you run into the first zombie in Resident Evil 1 and you literally just round the corner and there it is, and you're there stuck, like, oh god, it's right in front of me. I can't do anything about it.
I think in regards to Kojima and horror as well, like, where did you sit on PT and Silent Hills? Do you think he should go back to something like this? He's not going to be able to do it with the, you can't call it that because Konami own the IP, but could he just do a first person, you know, minimalist horror thing where they focus on, again, focus on the environment, rerunning certain locations and building things up like that?
I think that PT, as it stands, is possibly one of the best horror experiences that I've ever had the joy of playing.
Same.
I worry that that as a concept was utterly brilliant, but could that be stretched out over 30 hours? Because the moment that you allow it to escape that sort of labyrinthian style of construct, you're really starting to push, like, what you can do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, like I'll tell you what, a great example is the reason why everyone went mental for PT was because of the fact that it was so, so tightly scripted that you were able to experience everything. Now, if you play a game like Dead Space, there were very few times where I actually was in the right place at the right time, looking exactly where the director wanted me to look. Like the exploding baby sequence, for example. I ran past that on my first playthrough.
I did it for the guy in the body bag as well.
Yeah, so you miss those things. And it's kind of like, oh, well, I've missed a thing that was meant to be orchestrated specifically to get mm-hmm. me invested into it. Whereas mm-hmm. PT was so clever in its use of when and where mm-hmm. that it was going to allow those jump things
to happen. So it's like, because it's a corridor, it funnels you down a very specific viewpoint mm-hmm. and then they can load it. I mean, the first time you see Lisa just standing in front of you, or the first time she grabs you from behind, like you're already in this kind of isolating space and everything sort of doubles down in effectiveness because of that. And things like the fetus in the sink or whatever as well.
Disgusting
like,
as well.
That
yeah.
one room to the side that, like, you know, the door opens itself. And I always, it's weird because I think I refer to PT as like less is more. Like
exactly.
In like different voiceovers and stuff that we've done, but like it's the embodiment of that. And I think that was something that, because obviously Kojima sat down with Guillermo del Toro and figured out whatever the hell, you know, became PT. And Guillermo was not in an active position at Kojima Productions. Like,
right,
he's cameoing in Death Stranding, but mm-hmm. it's not his voice, it's just his face.
Okay.
But that's the thing, I would love Hideo to go back to del Toro and be like, okay, let's pick up where we left off. Mm-hmm. We don't need to even worry about Konami or whatever.
Yeah.
I have all this Sony money.
Yeah,
and so just do that kind of thing. But for me, like you said, PT was so effective because it was so driven in first person and horrifying. I'd like him to play into that more.
Oh, I would love him to go down the VR route. I feel like a VR super high quality
production.
He'd
do something really weird with VR.
But if this is the hardest thing in the world, to ask someone as like auteur and creative as him to be constrained, but I really find that he works best when he's collaborating with other people who just go, let's just rein
just
it
calm
back
down.
A bit. Because when he's allowed to go fully overboard, it's an amazing spectacle. All of the Metal Gear games are fantastic examples of just being like so overblown that they are grandiose and like it's amazing. Mm-hmm. But when you scale it back, that's when he really finds his like his stride.
Yeah, one of the weirdest things with Kojima in Metal Gear is like Metal Gear Solid 1, the PS1 one, was given to this one person translation team over in America. Mm-hmm. And that game's script is so much tighter and so much more... Like, Metal Gear Solid 1 is my favourite one. And it's like, yeah, you can tell. Because after that, apparently he didn't like the fact that this one person made a whole bunch of changes to the script and tightened it.
But it was for the better.
For the better. Yeah. And like you can tell that going forward, he was like, right, I'm having hands-on. It's my script. I'm going to do everything. And that big swerve that we all experienced in Metal Gear 2, where it's like, nanomachines and vampires on water and whatever else, and everything going forward with Metal Gear only got more crazy and got more Kojima because of like him just being like, no, I'm going to do everything.
We got to look at his past record of games as well and see where we could try and predict him ending up with horror. He ended the PT demo with Norman Reedus walking out and the camera panning around and revealing that he was in Silent Hill or a city that was similar to
this
it. But it was a big open city. Mm-hmm. He's shown that in Metal Gear Solid 5, 4, and some of 3, that he really likes the idea of having open spaces, about having choice about how to approach things. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a successful open world horror game, and I can understand why he might want to do that.
Days Gone gets there sometimes.
Days Gone is more of an action game with horror elements. Evil Within 2 had good ideas, but if he can somehow find a way to make an open world horror game that doesn't revolve just around completely about survival instincts and stuff
or jump scares.
Or jump scares, then he might well have a new genre that he is at the lead of.
And a Strand game.
And honestly, I feel like that might be where he wants to go.
Maybe. I think it's just like, that's the thing. If you go back to Metal Gear 5, like the influx of, I thought you call the team that are like the spectral team that chase you multiple times, you fight them in the Metallic Archaea mission,
the Beauty and the Beast.
No, not them, they're in 4, but either way.
Oh, sorry.
In 5 anyway, there's this big sort of like spectral ghost team, supernatural team that you fight multiple times. And like in that game, there's like bodies hanging in midair and this general sort of horror sensibility that he was playing with in Phantom Pain that then went into what he was going to do with PT. And you can look at like the concept trailer for PT that wasn't the playable one, but it's another like CG thing of him running through a corridor or characters running through a corridor and like the walls bleeding and maggots coming out the floor and whatever else. And it seems like he really wanted to play with like just discomfort and like general sort of visuals that are like macabre and freak people out. And obviously all that stuff kind of got cancelled, but that's very much at the centre of Death Stranding's aesthetic. Like oil and dead animals and beach things and ghosts in the sky and whatever. Like he's really up for this particular thing. And if he hasn't nailed it with Death Stranding, maybe he just needs to do an all-out horror.
So we might get an abstract art house horror game, open world.
Yeah.
Of course.
I would take
that. To be fair, you can't pick 4 sort of more opposing forces, and I do think that Kojima would be the one to bring them together.
Yeah, I think if there's anything, it'll definitely be unique. And like he's the one saying his ideas are out there. So.
Maybe that's the title. Maybe it's just called Out There.
Maybe this is me putting my goggles on. Because he would do something really stupid with VR, like sort of like birthing yourself or something. Because he loves like crazy babies.
You're going to deliver yourself while you're viewing out at yourself,
you're
trying
just
to pull
like
you out.
Yeah, I think I'm calling that right now. If he does a game where you've got to birth yourself, I'm calling it right now. Booth Stranding.
Well, there we go.
Booth Standing.
Yeah, because you're literally standing up.
You've got to live.
Well, there we go. That has been our thoughts on the fact that Hideo Kojima might well be getting back into the horror game. Let us know what you think about that down in the comment section, as well as any ideas, as crazy as they are, because you know what? He might read these comment sections and actually just be like, he'd be like, that's a good idea.
I'll
nick that. That sounds great. Right, yeah. He's a huge fan of the channel, obviously. As always, I've been Jules, and go follow me at RetroJ with a zero over on Twitter, and you can follow Scott at
@LP89.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoyed this and have a fantastic day going forward, whatever you're getting up to. We'll speak to you soon. Bye.
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 Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.